You're listening to a WOSU Public Media podcast. Everything you hear is funded by listeners like you. Become a member of WOSU Public Media today and support digital content like Snollygoster and the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast. Make a gift at WOSU.org.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Midnight last night was the deadline. A minute past that deadline, the Ohio Redistricting Commission adopted new state House and Senate legislative district maps that once again secured a supermajority for Republicans. Earlier in the evening, Governor Mike DeWine defined the goal of the commission this way.
The objective is to get a bipartisan map. And you know, that's obviously a more difficult thing than to get a partisan map. We could go ahead and vote and get a partisan map and for 4 years, but that's not really the objective.
But that's exactly what happened. Joining us now is Karen Kassler, Bureau Chief for the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. Welcome back, Karen.
Hi, good morning. It's morning, right?
It is morning. And we could have probably written this lead yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a huge surprise. I know there was a lot of talk. You heard Governor Mike DeWine just a minute ago. I was there when he was speaking to reporters about 5:45 last night, talking about the idea of getting a bipartisan map, but also opening the door to the possibility that there would not be an agreement on maps yesterday. There was agreement. It was late at night, and the maps were really unsatisfying to a lot of people. The process has gotten a lot of criticism as well.
Right. Tell us about the process.
Well, now remember, there's two separate processes here. This is for maps for the Ohio House and Senate. The next project is going to be the map for the congressional districts. That's the one I think a lot of people focus on because we have one less member of Congress. One member of Congress is going to lose their job. But this was about the state House and state Senate, 99 members of the Ohio House, 33 members of the Senate. And there were a variety of maps that had been proposed. The process started on August 6th. And during that meeting of the Ohio Redistricting Commission, which is a 7-member panel, 5 Republicans, 2 Democrats, all elected officials, they were talking about how they did not have the data from the U.S. Census to go ahead and draw those maps. That data had been delayed for a variety of reasons, the pandemic, some lawsuits from the Trump administration, that sort of thing. The data arrived in Ohio in mid-August, was processed by Ohio University, then returned to the Redistricting Commission to draw those maps. Now, the commission, there had been a lot of pressure on the commission to start working at least and start putting something together before the data was arriving or to at least start the process, but that's not what happened. And so there was a series of meetings. There were 10 meetings held around the state with public input, but no maps to offer public input on. The maps finally came last week, which was after the September 1st constitutional deadline where they were supposed to be presented. And there were a couple different maps that were brought forward with some changes, but in the end, the Republican-dominated map, the one that preserves Republican majorities in the House and Senate, is the one that was adopted.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the final result, of the Ohio Redistricting Board, which voted about 12:01 this morning on the new district lines for the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. These are the State House representatives and senators. My guest is Karen Kassler. She's chief of the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. She's been covering the issue. Give me a thumbnail of the final breakdown of these maps and what it means.
Well, I've got to give credit to my State House News Bureau colleague, Andy Chow. He was the one that was at the State House last night watching the whole vote and being there. You know, this was a process. The meeting was supposed to start at 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Then it got pushed to 3. Then it got pushed to 8. And it finally started up around, I don't know, 10:30 or so, I think. And so the final result was, there had been 2 additional map proposals that had been submitted yesterday, one from Senator Vernon Sykes, one of the 2 Democrats on the panel. This was his third try at getting a set of maps that Republicans would buy into. And then there was a second set of maps from Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman. And it's interesting, Matt Huffman and Vernon Sykes worked together on getting this redistricting issue passed by voters back in 2015. I mean, they were instrumental in changing this process, and the reactions that they've had to how the process has gone has not been great. I mean, Vernon Sykes is very disappointed in the way that the process went. The final vote was 5-2, Republicans voting for these maps, Democrats voting against them. And the maps would favor Republicans in 62 House districts, 62 of 99. And in the Senate, 23 districts would be likely Republican, 23 out of 33. So that gives a real strong advantage to Republicans, especially when you compare it to how Ohioans voted in 2020, where 54% of Ohioans voted for Donald Trump and 45% voted for Joe Biden.
How, you know, we heard what the governor said about what the objective was. It's clearly not what they achieved. It's the opposite. One person said that it's the definition of gerrymandering is what they did with these maps. Yet he voted for it.
Yeah, I think from talking to Andy, who spent, like I said, all last night.
Which is why we don't have him now.
At the commission meeting. Yeah, exactly. He needs some sleep, yeah. Man. You know, he talked to some people who were on the panel about how the process went down. And again, you heard Mike DeWine talking about the whole idea of maybe delaying this vote. I mean, I put out a little video of him kind of updating everybody about what was happening, saying that, you know, we might miss this deadline. And when Andy talked to Senator Vernon Sykes, the question of missing that deadline came up, but there was a real concern that if the deadline were not observed and the deadline were missed last night and there was a delay negotiated here, well, what would that actually get anybody? Would it still end up being the same maps that we're looking at right now? Would that be, in Sykes's words to Andy, window dressing on this whole issue? And so there was no delay because apparently there was no agreement by all seven members of the redistricting commission on one single set of maps. You know, Democrats wanted their maps, Republicans wanted their maps, and there was no way to get to that bipartisan agreement. And that's absolutely what we saw last night with the 5-2 split. Democrats really blasting the maps and really saying these were unfair. Republicans, the three elected officials who are gonna be on the ballot next year.
Statewide elected,
Yeah, statewide elected. That's Governor Mike DeWine, Auditor Keith Faber, and Secretary of State Frank LaRose. They all said they didn't like the process, but they had to vote for these maps. They didn't like it, but they had to vote for it. And it sure seems like the sticking points potentially here were the House Speaker and the Senate President, House Speaker Bob Cupp, Senate President Matt Huffman.
Meaning they were intransigent. They were not going to move.
That they wanted to stick with the maps that Matt Huffman, the Senate president, had proposed, and that there was just no wiggle room there. And that's really, I think when people voted for the change in the process in 2015, that's the kind of thing that I think a lot of people were hoping they were voting to stop. This intransigence, inability to negotiate between the parties, that there was no sense of compromise. And there are a lot of people who are going to look at these maps and say they don't see any compromise here. That there isn't, it basically preserves what Ohio has right now, which many people believe is unacceptable. That's why you had, you know, I think it was a 70% vote for the constitutional amendment back in 2015.
Exactly. Let's see. I want to say it was 71% in 2015. Yeah. And 75%, three out of four voters in 2018 for the congressional map process.
Yep.
So how did the Senate president and the speaker defend this final decision, these final maps?
Well, they put out a statement. They are constitutionally required to put out a statement that says what they did and why it stands up with the Constitution. Uh-huh. And they said that they considered 16 races during the last 10 years and considered the results of those and found 13 out of 16 of those elections resulted in a statewide proportion of voters favoring statewide Republican candidates, 81%, statewide proportion of voters favoring statewide Democratic candidates, 19%. And that was what they said kind of justified why they did the map the way that they did. But of course, like I said, people are going to look at what happened in 2020 and say, that isn't that what they are analyzing doesn't represent how voters voted in the presidential election, which is usually when most voters do come out. So what ends up happening here, I think, at this point is these maps are almost certainly there's one thing everybody agrees on. These maps are going to court.
Yeah.
And I think the question is now, who's going to be the entity that files the lawsuit? And what happens then, the Ohio Supreme Court is a big deal. When the court stepped in, or when the maps came before the Ohio Supreme Court in 2011, it was a different Ohio Supreme Court. It was, I think there was one Democrat on the Ohio Supreme Court then. Now there are three. And back in 2011, those maps were upheld by the Ohio Supreme Court. But one of the votes against those maps was Republican Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor, who is still the Chief Justice. Mm-hmm. She's not running for re-election. She's term limited out, or she's time limited out by age.
Yeah.
And so there's a real question about how she might vote. Will she side with the Democrats, who are almost certainly going to look at these maps and say they don't like the way that they're drawn? Or who knows what's going to happen? But that's, I think, there's almost universal agreement that that's where this whole question's going to end.
I mean, Governor DeWine last night said, quote, "What I am sure in my heart is that this committee could have come up with a bill that was much more clearly constitutional. I'm sorry that we did not do that," he said.
Yeah.
The governor of the state of Ohio, one of the members of this commission, is already saying it's not constitutional.
Yeah. And I think that's obviously where the Ohio Supreme Court is going to have to come in and decide that. But yeah, there were a couple of remarks last night from DeWine, from LaRose, and from Faber that really suggested that the process, they didn't like the process. They felt like somebody was negotiating not in good faith, though no names were tossed out. But that certainly brings up the question of what I was just saying that mm-hmm. Andy was talking to Senator Vernon Sykes about. Now, of course, Senator Vernon Sykes is a Democrat. You've still got politics in this, even though I think so many people wanted to see politics taken out of this. There's just no way for state lawmakers to draw and elected officials to draw maps that don't have some sort of a political element to it. I don't see how it happens. And so now, I think that it really does become the Supreme Court's problem, in a sense, to try to figure out whether these maps are indeed constitutional. And then if they're not, we're kind of right back in this. And there were a couple of references last night to being back here in a couple of months. I mean, if these maps aren't constitutional, they've got to be redone.
And by the way, I mean, the other maps that were put forth besides the Republicans, they weren't favoring Democrats they gave them a few more competitive districts, but it still favored Republicans over Democrats by and large. They were just more competitive districts.
Yeah, the first map from, and it was Democratic Senator Vernon Sykes who put out three different map proposals. The last one, I believe, had... I think it was 57 Republicans in the House, 57 mm-hmm. out of 99, and 20 Republicans in the Senate, 20 out of 33. And, the final map was a little bit closer to those numbers, but still that supermajority in the House with this final map that was approved last night, favoring Republicans, 62, that's not quite a supermajority, I think, 62 of 99 Republicans, and then 23 out of 33 Democrats. These are still just really, for many people, lopsided results when there was a hope that it would be a more even split. It was never going to be a 50-50 split.
Exactly.
That does not, right, that does not reflect how Ohioans voted. And so certainly there was going to be a Republican tilt to any map that was put forward, but how far do you want to tilt? And certainly there are folks who believe that these maps tilt Ohio way over into an area that's unconstitutional.
You know, back when these amendments to the Constitution and how the redistricting was supposed to happen going forward this year. Back then, the issue of the four-year map came up as sort of the stick. If you can't come to a bipartisan agreement on this, on anything, then you're only going to get a four-year instead of a 10-year map. And back then they said, well, that'll be, you know, no one wants to go into a four-year map cycle because you can't plan ahead. It's harder to fundraise. Yep. It's harder to plan, blah, blah, blah. That didn't seem to do a lick of good.
Well, yeah. And the four-year map cycle is not only chaotic for candidates and for parties, but it's also really uncertain for the parties as the whole process starts over again in 4 years. Because in 4 years, who knows what that seven-member Ohio Redistricting Commission is going to look like? Are those same five Republicans going to be there and those same two Democrats? And, you know, Republicans will quite often point to how Democrats could have fixed all of this years ago, back in 2010, mm-hmm. when there was a proposal in the legislature to change this that was championed by Senator, now Lieutenant Governor John Houston. And they'll say that former Speaker Armin Budish, who was in charge when the Democrats were briefly in charge in the House, blocked that. Well, you know, there was a real sense in 2010 that Democrats were going to do well. That is exactly the opposite of what happened in 2010. Republicans did very well. And so they ended up drawing those maps and going into the secret hotel room that you heard about in 2011 to create the maps for Congress and the State House, which sparked these constitutional amendments in the first place.
And the question now goes forward is, even the governor is saying it didn't pass constitutional muster. There's going to be lawsuits. We don't know who the parties are that will bring those lawsuits at this point.
Yeah, certainly Fair Districts Ohio, which was the group that helped bring those two constitutional amendments in 2015 and 2018, they said they're looking over all the options, possible lawsuits, also possible a ballot initiative that would change the process again. And, you know, if you're on social media, obviously, and following politics, you're seeing all sorts of stuff about mm-hmm. this today and even last night. And I contributed to that, sorry. but there was some references to the whole thing should have been taken out of the politicians' hands to begin with. And so I wonder if that's one of the things that's being talked about with the idea of maybe another ballot initiative, is coming up with something that would remove the authority of state lawmakers and elected officials to draw these maps. I don't know how you do that, but I know there are people who are talking about that they want to change this because they don't feel that elected officials have proven that they can do it.
I know I have to let you go. I'm dragging this on, but I am curious about your thoughts, Karen. You and I have both been, you know, you've been covering it actively for years. I've been following it for 30 years, the whole issue of redistricting and how, and astounded as a young reporter when I discovered what was actually going on with it. It was kind of shocking. But back then, editors would say to me, nobody cares. It's in the weeds. Yeah. It's too technical, blah, blah, blah. People have been showing up to those public hearings in a way that sort of astounds and delights me.
Yeah, I mean, there were a bunch of people who repeatedly showed up, but there were different people at every one of those hearings. Those 10 meetings that were around the state, there were meetings here at the State House. People have really gotten concerned about this. I remember talking to somebody who gathered petition signatures a couple years ago before the constitutional amendment went forward, saying that she really had gotten to the point where she didn't have to explain gerrymandering anymore because people were starting to get it. And there is a really strong connection between how these maps are drawn and the bills you see at the State House. And if you're concerned about what you're seeing at the State House, either way, if you think that the bills that are being proposed are not reflective of what you think and what you believe and what you want to see in the state, or you think they are, these maps are a big part of why the bills that are happening are happening. And so that's why every election is important. State lawmakers are up every 2 years. State senators are up every 4 years. The five executive offices, which are Secretary of State, Auditor, Treasurer, Attorney General, and Governor, are all on the ballot next year.
Right.
All of these offices are important in state government and how that affects all of the things that happens really in people's daily lives.
Everyday lives, exactly. Well, Karen Kassler, thanks as always for your time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, it's great to talk to you.
Karen Kassler, Chief of the Ohio Public Radio Statehouse News Bureau. We're going to hear from a couple of those nonpartisan groups coming up, the ones that have been working, one of whom has been working since 2005 on this issue, to get their take on it. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. The Ohio Redistricting Commission late last night approved new maps for the State House and Senate districts. Just before voting with his fellow Republicans for the maps, Governor DeWine apologized. They could have done better, he said.
What I am sure in my heart is that this committee could have come up with a bill that was much more clearly constitutional. I'm sorry we did not do that.
He also predicted legal challenges ahead. Jen Miller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio, which helped found Fair Districts Ohio. That's a coalition of nonpartisan groups working to end gerrymandering in Ohio. Welcome back to the show, Jen Miller.
Thanks, Ann.
Ohio State Professor Emeritus Richard Gunther has worked on redistricting reform since 2005. He co-authored the State House redistricting amendments that 71% of Ohio voters approved in 2015 and contributed to the congressional redistricting amendments ratified by 3 out of 4 voters in 2018. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be back.
So, Richard Gunther, does the map passed last night abide by the redistricting amendment passed in 2015?
It is flagrantly unconstitutional. And this speaks primarily to Section 6 of the Constitution. And this is the one area where I actually wrote the language. And there are 3 different clauses there that are extremely important where it's clear that the Republican map violated them. One of them is just the prelude to Section 6. It says, "The Ohio Redistricting Commission shall attempt to draw a General Assembly district plan that meets all of the following standards." Doesn't say can, doesn't say may, doesn't say might attempt to meet these criteria. It says it shall attempt. And as Ray DeRossi, who presented the Huffman plan in the ORC meeting, readily admitted, they did not take this into consideration at all. Second, Section 6A says no General Assembly district plan shall be drawn primarily to favor or disfavor a political party. It's quite clear, given the numbers, that this is dramatically overrepresenting and unfairly representing the Republican Party. But it's Section 6B that provides the most clear-cut evidence that this is an unconstitutional map. It says, "The statewide proportion of districts whose voters, based on statewide, state, and federal partisan general election results during the past 10 years, favor each political party, shall correspond closely to the statewide preferences of the voters of Ohio." So we calculated this, as is the intent of the author of this, by adding up the votes for president, U.S. senator, governor, secretary of state, auditor, attorney general, and treasurer over the previous 10 years, and that totaled 54.2% for the Republicans and 45.8% for the Democrats. And that should be roughly the percentages of seats that would be leaning towards one party or another. Specifically, that would lead you to 54 districts favoring the Republicans, 45 districts favoring the Democrats. Instead, the original proposal set forth by the Republicans would have had 67 districts favorable to Republicans instead of 55, only 32 Democratic-leaning districts instead of 45. And with regard to the Senate, 25 Republican districts and only 8 Democratic leaners. Clearly, these are way out of line with what the Constitution clearly stipulates should be the baseline for assessing fairness in drawing these district boundaries.
Jen Miller, do you know how the commission tallied what numbers they tallied to come to the 67-32 and the 25 Republican, 8 Democrats in the Senate?
You can use different software to do the tallying.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure which software they used. I think they used Maptitude. I don't know if that matters too much. I think what matters, Anne, is this, that we know very, very clearly that this is not a fair representative map. That once again, we see politicians putting their short-sighted and selfish interests first rather than the rights of the people, even after the people voted by almost 72% to see a change, and that change to be something that really represents us. The general public knows, Republican, Democrat, you know, from Lake Erie to the Ohio River, Black, Brown, White, Asian, young and old, Ohioans know that rigging maps for individual candidates and political parties is polluting our democracy. It is really making our democracy not function for our interests. And I think what's really sad for me is we had thousands, literally thousands of people show up to these hearings. Many of them offered brilliant testimony about how, you know, partisan gerrymandering was harming their schools and their families. They talked about people who died of COVID. They talked about gun safety, people who in their lives who had died by gun violence. They talked about education policy and women's rights. Many yelled, many cried. So many begged for this process to be different, for us to actually see maps that really represented the people. And at the end of the day, it couldn't get done. We still ended up, we're still looking at the map, but it might actually be worse this decade than it was last decade when we didn't even have reforms. So I think the anger is palpable. And I think what this has done, at least for League and my members, who are many of the people who showed up, is it has turbocharged our resolve to end gerrymandering in any way, whatever it takes. You know, we started fighting this in the 1970s. We fought the Democrats when the Democrats were the one rigging the maps. Mm-hmm. Now the Republicans are. And I just don't see my people stopping anytime soon.
The 4-year map was supposed to be a stick, Richard Gunther, to inspire, to incentivize Republicans to work with Democrats on this and come to a map that would get, you know, would get bipartisan approval. That didn't work.
No, I was skeptical about that from the beginning. And indeed, the Republicans are so confident they're going to continue to dominate the legislature and these statewide offices that they probably don't feel that this represents a realistic threat. I would hope that, in fact, voters would bear in mind when they go to the polls how their wishes have been betrayed by this gerrymandered set of maps, but whether that actually brings about any kind of carrot and stick that would lead people to support fair maps is something that remains to be seen.
There is the looming threat of litigation. Jen Miller, I was talking to Kieran Kassler from the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau, and it wasn't clear where that would come from. Do you have any speculation?
All right. So the League of Women Voters is still looking at our options. I want to remind everyone that it was just in 2019 that we had a victory in federal court with partners at ACLU and A. Philip Randolph, where we successfully convinced a 3-judge bipartisan panel that all 16 of our congressional districts were unconstitutional because they were partisan gerrymandered. You know, the state appealed those, and that would have gone to the U.S. Supreme Court, who we know punted. But let me just say this. If we decide to bring a case, it will be an absolute dynamite team of lawyers, experts, and plaintiffs. We're still looking at that option, but you know what else is 100% on the table is another ballot initiative. And I think here's the thing about League. Again, we were the ones that got our clipboards out that created the space for brilliant folks like Professor Gunther to try to negotiate. And you're right that we were trying to make a compromise, and we were trying to create a process that was bipartisan in the creation of it and would be bipartisan in the implementation of it. Instead, what we've seen is that, again, politicians will put politicians first, and the people deserve better. And so I do think that one way or the other, we're going to see a change in this system.
It's always been said, Professor Gunther, that the system itself is intrinsically political, that drawing district lines the way it's set forth in the Ohio Constitution is just political, that it's meant to be political.
Why should that condemn us to unfairness in policy deliberations and in elections forevermore? It quite clearly is something that can be adjusted to make it clear that, that it should be fairer. The one problem with the current system is that what we had proposed and brought to the ballot in 2012, unfortunately, did not pass. And that would have been a citizens commission that would have implemented basically the same criteria that mm-hmm. we currently have in the Constitution. But unfortunately, in the tidal wave election of 2012, well, I'll take that back. 2012 was a reasonable election, but the bottom line is that voters did not support our initiative. And that's largely because there was a completely disingenuous campaign against us, effectively lying about what we were proposing to the extent that even referring to it as an independent citizens commission was ruled out by the ballot board. And instead there was language about creating a new unresponsive and unaccountable bureaucracy. And under those circumstances, voters were misled and were incapable of really correctly understanding what we were proposing. I think that would have been much better than what we currently have. Although I must say, I am very disappointed that the politicians in the room did not rise to the occasion with regard to this latest round of redistricting.
And so, Jen,
let's hope they will when they have to redraw the map, as I think will be ordered by the Supreme Court.
And so, like, hypothetically, you go back and you try to amend the Constitution again and you get the voters on board. But what's to stop the ballot board from doing the same thing to the ballot language the next time around? If you take the politics out of it, it sounds like they'll always step up and stop that.
Hell hath no fury like a whole bunch of women scorned. Let me just say this. The League of Women Voters, again, started working on this in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. Every General Assembly, starting right after the Apportionment Board was created, which now we have a slightly different system, we had a bill introduced. And we keep moving this ball forward. I think we are at a breaking point. I think at this point in time, Ohio voters understand that lawmakers are acting outside of their interests, whether it's COVID response or whatever it is, that lawmakers are acting outside of their interests. And until the people take back their maps, until the people take back the legislative districts, that we will not have a democracy that really functions for us. We will not have representation that really serves us. And so I think what I'll say is this, Anne, every time we go at this, things get a little bit better. I think we have more activists, more energy among the public than we've ever had. And so I'll just, you know, like at the end of the day, I'll say this. It, you know, a lot of people are gonna feel like we've lost this, right? But you and I both know, all of us know that in politics, there can be moments in time that are like flashpoints. So just because we see a partisan gerrymander today doesn't mean that that's the final say. For us, this is just round one. We're not going to go away. We're going to continue to put a spotlight on this undemocratic anti-voter problem. And in my corner are the people of Ohio. And we're going to keep coming out swinging until we get this taken care of.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll get right back to it. That is Jen Miller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio, and also with us, OSU Professor Emeritus Richard Gunther. He has worked on redistricting reform since 2005. And, of course, we're talking about the map that was adopted last night by the Ohio Redistricting Commission. Still retains a supermajority of Republican representation in the Ohio House and in the Ohio Senate. And there's another process coming up soon that will draw the lines for the congressional districts, which takes on more intensity this year because Ohio, because of the population not growing is at the same pace, has lost a congressional seat by way of the census. So if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Dan Fisher. We're talking about Ohio's new state legislative maps and the process that got us here. A minute past midnight on Wednesday, on Thursday morning at 12:01, the Ohio Redistricting Commission, along party lines, adopted new state house and legislative district maps that once again secured a supermajority for Republicans. The map is good for just four instead of the usual 10 years. It will be challenged in the meantime. Jen Miller is the executive director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio, which helped found Fair Districts Ohio. That's a coalition of nonpartisan groups working to end gerrymandering. And Richard Gunther is a professor emeritus of political science at Ohio State University. He's been active in redistricting reform efforts since 2005. They both join me today. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Richard Gunther, can you explain what happens if this does go into litigation? What's the process? I mean, how fast does Ohio Supreme Court have to respond to this? How does it work? And what happens in the 2022 elections?
First, with regard to the court, one of the good things is the Constitution stipulates that the Ohio Supreme Court will have exclusive original jurisdiction in all cases arising under Article 11. That's very good because normally you would find plaintiffs shopping around for various venues, and they could have wasted a lot of time, especially going to federal courts, which now, according to the Supreme Court, may not intervene in partisan gerrymandering cases. So it goes directly to the Ohio Supreme Court. And as you pointed out in your earlier comments, the lineup in the court is much more favorable this time around than it was in 2012. And I'm convinced, given the clarity with which the Constitution stipulates some of these criteria and the extent to which they are just overtly violated by what the Republicans passed, that the court will give a relatively fair hearing to this. Now, the problem is the court cannot by itself implement changes. There are two clauses in the Constitution that prevents the court from introducing its own map or ordering a particular map to be implemented. And that could be problematic because we've seen this in Florida, where a similar provision to our Section 6A exists, so that the Supreme Court on a couple of occasions has ruled the map unconstitutional. It went back to the legislature. The legislature did minor tinkering with the bill, and then it went into effect again. The problem is the court cannot by itself enforce a fair map. So that's one problematic feature. But at the same time, I think it would really not be in the interests of anyone to repeatedly violate the wishes of the Supreme Court in cases of this kind. So I'm hoping they would respect the legitimacy of the court and bring about meaningful changes in this very, very flawed redistricting bill.
Is all of this, the timeline of this, Jen Miller, a concern given, you know, that we're a year out, coming up on a year out from the 2022 election cycle?
Well, it would have to be a expedited case. We would, you know, if there's going to be a case before the Ohio Supreme Court, everything needs to be wrapped up, you know, by the probably the end of January or middle January, because candidates need to collect their signatures to get into the primary and all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, it is interesting. One thing I did just want to mention was that Governor DeWine actually really has some responsibility of this too. We're in this tight timeline in part because the governor didn't convene the commission earlier. Many of us began begging for commission hearings to start at the beginning of the year because bipartisanship takes time and deliberation. This was a brand new process with lots of technical details. You know, there were lots of things that never really got discussed.
But even without the census data, you could have made headway even without the data.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, for example, thinking about how we determine proportional fairness, or what Professor Gunther was talking about in terms of Section 6. How do we measure that? How do we determine that? All kinds of things in regards to what software do we want to use? The data that we got from the census, what data are we going to use to really do kind of political indexing or partisan indexing? The Voting Rights Act. There were so many things that never actually got discussed by this commission in the public where experts got to answer questions, and all of that should have been done before census data came. And so I do hear, you know, I did see that the governor was talking about how he wished we had more time. That falls directly on his feet, that we didn't have more time. There could have been a lot done in advance.
So, and by the time the actual data arrived, you could have hit the ground running then.
Right. Instead, we were having hearings after, you know, like the day before the first deadline, there was still lack of clarity between the commission members themselves on how the mapping process was going to work. That should have been ironed out much earlier. I do appreciate that the statewides are saying that it's going to have to be different for congressional, and it's going to have to be different if this map comes back to them, because the process itself was chaotic, it was hectic, it was not deliberative, it wasn't that transparent, highly frustrating, I think, for us, but clearly to a lot of the commissioners as well. And so I think we are right on the precipice, just as so everyone knows, we're right on the precipice of another deadline, which is the congressional deadline for September 30th. And the lawmakers have had no hearings on that either.
Right.
And so, again, map making takes time. Bipartisanship takes time. These maps determine how communities are represented for up to 10 years. And it just seems as though not only are the politicians maybe not up to the task of working together, but they're just not really taking seriously how important or complicated this work is.
You know, I just want to make sure our listeners know that we did contact every Republican on the commission, or we tried to contact them. As far as from what I understand, none of them even called us back. Obviously, they're busy, but we didn't need to speak to them personally. We would have been glad to speak to one of the representatives. Nobody called us back. Of course, we wanted to have more different sides to this story on the show today. If you have a question or comment, 614-292-8513. And Candace in Dayton, you're on the air. Hi, Candace.
Hi. I have been, excuse me, since I'm older now, and I'm really paying attention to this, and I've been watching it on PBS. And I am so impressed with the people who have gotten up to speak with the commissioners. And one of the things that I noticed was the teachers who are teaching this in the schools, probably not all of them, but they have even said that some of their high school students mm-hmm. have actually come up with better maps than what we have now. And I'm thinking, why not submit some of those? I mean, it sounds like those kids can do a better job than what we've got now. And I'm going to hang up to listen mm-hmm. to you. And I think Jen Miller is my hero. I think she's great.
Okay, so, Candace. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And then I want to just get Pat into this. Pat in Columbus, you're on the air. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Ann. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just appalled by what has happened. We have tried for years to correct this. And in fact, as the people amended the Constitution, clearly our legislators are serving only themselves. This has got to change, and we will change it one way or the other. If nothing else, maybe we need to take this to a non-legislative commission to draw these maps, because clearly legislators don't seem able to get out of their own interests and draw a fair map. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat, for that call. Let's see, emails. Mary Lou wrote, she said, how does anybody think that a bipartisan map would be drawn or voted for with a commission with only two Democrats on the commission? Who decided who made up the commission? Now, Richard Gunther, this goes to the issue of, well, it's about who's represented in the Ohio General Assembly and in statewide elective offices, right? And the 4-year punishment if you don't come up with a constitution or a bipartisan agreement was supposed to be the stick.
Right. Now, with regard to the caller's question, the actual history of the structuring of this reapportionment board. This goes back to John Husted's original proposal, which in 2009 stipulated they wanted to have 7 members, a minimum of 2 from the minority party, and that they would have to sign on to a plan that would have this time span. Now, what we did in our deliberations is accept that model, but then put a whole series of new criteria that are much more clear-cut and much more carefully structured than had been in the Constitution previously. So in terms of where did this come from, it came from that long-term political process that we thought we had pretty well fixed with clear-cut criteria, but quite frankly, I never dreamed that the redistricting board would just turn its back on these criteria and create maps as they see fit. And one point, there's this comment that was made trying to justify the lopsided distribution of districts favoring the Republicans, and that is that out of 16 elections, 13 were won by Republican candidates. I'm a political scientist, and I've been studying this field for 50 years. I have never seen such a preposterous use of the legitimacy to be derived from elections. It's clear that our language stipulates preferences of the voters of Ohio, not how many elections you win. So I want to clear that one off the table. It's simply a silly argument and has no business fitting into this discourse.
Beth wrote us an email. She said, just let me know when I need to get out with my clipboard again to gather signatures for a better amendment, disgusting what they did with the new map. So Jen Miller, I mean, that goes to your assertion that we're at a moment in time when people are ready to act.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people are wanting to get involved, this is what I would say. Please become a League of Women Voters member. Please make sure you are a volunteer. Visit fairdistrictsohio.org. We have a big map day, September 21st, next week at the State House. You've got another day to register. It would be great to be filling the State House with all kinds of people who want better maps for Congress, because that's right upon us.
So, yeah, right. I was going to say the next besides all of what's going to happen in reaction to the new maps for State House and Senate seats, now the congressional, there's going to be a lot happening all at the same time. Are you afraid that people are going to sort of get lost in this mix, Jen? No?
No. Here's the thing. It's my job to demystify this process for the public so they can engage. So just, you know, make sure you're following the league and fairdistrictsohio.org on social media. Make sure your membership is up to date with the league. And we will do everything we can to keep you informed and help you be part of the process.
Well, Jen Miller, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Ohio, thanks for your time as always. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And Richard Gunther, Professor Emeritus of Political Science at OSU. He's been working on redistricting reform since 2005. I really appreciate your time today. Thanks again.
Thank you, Ann.
And everybody else out there who's listening, we did try to get a representation of the Republican side on the show today. We called the office of every member of the Ohio Redistricting Commission to ask someone join us to represent their point of view, and they did not respond to our requests. Thanks so much for listening today. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.